Greetings, this is the automatically deleted husband, and obviously automatically deleted again. There's a whole lot of things I'd like to tell you, share with you, hear from you. You know, I'd like to be this bi-directional idea, which I think would add a lot of joy to both of us. So since it's only a monologue, there's a lot of things I'd like to express to you, Friday's hike was an immense joy, but boy, did I feel it over the weekend. I did mention that I was really, I don't know if I mentioned it. When I looked at the video of my jumping jacks, I started reasonable form. The arms were going above me. By the time I was done, it was kind of like this. It looked like an old man. It was pathetic. I don't know why, just 5 mile hike and a couple thousand feet incline, and yeah, dude, that shouldn't bother anybody. I looked at it and I said, that was ridiculous. I did come home and I did 128 jumpy jacks after I got home, just to, you know, finish the day well. And the following day, because I do 512 in the morning, then I do 128 when I make my kefir, and then I do a 256 and a 128 usually. Sometimes it gets mixed up a bit. But I went outside and videoed myself doing the 286 again the following day in better form because I wanted to make sure that I wasn't really getting that bad. But anyway, so I was encouraged by that. But I have noticed, because it's been a concern of mine, that I'm leaning forward a bit as opposed to up, because I am conscious of, when I do the 512 in the morning, it's not extremely strong. In the sense that I do get, I think, the arms up, but I don't shove them up. Whereas when I'm doing the smoothie and do it only 128, I put a little more effort into it. Because, and I've noticed, it's impacted my arms dramatically. And then I was Sunday at, because Saturday didn't go anywhere. No, I just didn't go anywhere. Sunday, I figured I needed to get out. And I did go to Publix, and I saw a guy there, all muscle. I mean, you know, his arms were like my legs. I mean, so it was. I mean, he was a good bit stronger than I am. But the joy of Sunday was I got to visit with a number of people in their homes, and did that. Acts 20:20, James 1:27 stuff. You know, what a follower of Christ is called to do as opposed to meet to an institution where you cannot find a verse that commands you to meet at an institution on Sundays or Saturdays or anything. I mean, there's no call for the institution. Right? Literally, find a verse. Find a single verse that commands the institution. And it was fascinating because one of the stops I made was at Gary. And Gary said, "Hey, I have a couple things for you to do," because he can't reach some stuff. Obviously, it's kind of hard to reach a shelf really high when you only have one leg. So I did a few things for him, and he also had his TV didn't work. He's into TV, so I got it back working for him. And we flipped a couple of channels and walked away. And I didn't realize what I did, but as I walked away, because it's on constantly, I ended up at a religious station, TBN, which is kind of like, wow, I haven't heard any of that stuff in a long time. And I heard some of that kind of in the background. And one of the things that was fascinating is, one, it was pathetic. It was really, really pathetic. It was the isn't this wonderful? You should be a part kind of really serious fluff stuff. I mean, it was really bad. And then one of the things that I heard is, yes, and we should gather together on Sunday morning. Hebrews 10:25. I was thinking, okay, go ahead, try that one. And he did the typical thing, you know, just read it and said, oh, see, you're supposed to gather at church. No, I'm sorry. That's not what it says. You know, and that's one of the real big concerns I have is you get, especially because I've seen it myself so often, you get used to the idea of this particular verse means this. When you just read it straight out, and it doesn't, even in English, even without looking at the, you know, at the original language, it's not what it means. You know, just picking out of the air, like the do the work of the evangelists. And the only reason that I think we have this desire to say, oh, this person is an evangelist, and that he goes out and makes conversions, he brings people to Christ, is because it's cultural. That's our cultural understanding. It's simply not what it says. Well, in that case, you have to look at the word, good, go speak, literally. You're called to be the messenger of good news. You're not called to make conversions. But it's those kind of things. I mean, there's so many, I've been through that one. There's so many things like that, the fluff. But anyway. But so, Saturday was, Sunday was even worse, actually. But I did a modest, you know, it was Cook, so that was about 4 miles. And that helped a little bit, because I didn't want to, you know, kind of freeze up after doing a more strenuous 11 mile. I looked back at it and I said, yeah, we did it in 6 hours. But that included our stop, and we actually stopped along the way a little bit. So we walked that the 11 miles in 5 hours, including that going up and going down. So we kept a really good pace, and I was really pleased. And especially the soreness that we had, especially the first time we got the top, boy, were we sore afterwards. It's we're fatigued. We're fine, which encourages me. Again, gives you the idea that I might make 90, like I promised my wife to strive for. But a couple things I'd like to share with you. I am concerned because, you know, I follow the thing with the truckers in Canada. I'm seeing that the truckers in the U.S. have just arrived in Washington, D.C. They're not making anywhere near the news the Canadians did. And then, of course, you know, I've spoken a lot about the fallacy around COVID-19. And I think, you know, a lot of people will say this. What has basically cured COVID-19 and removed the mask mandates is the Ukraine issue. Because that's taken the news. And therefore, these other things we can just stop talking about. And I can just go away because there's something more important. And it really, the PR behind it is amazing. It really is amazing. And the thing is, you have to make sure only the right news comes out. You know, the latest thing I heard about is there was some effort to destroy documents at a bioweapons factory in the northern part of Ukraine or something of the nature, sponsored by the U.S. The veracity of this it has not been verified, but apparently there's a good bit of evidence for this now. Some documents have been shown that it was, we need to destroy everything because we don't want to get caught. But, you know, and the fascinating analogy is we went in and invaded Iraq because they had weapons of mass destruction. They had a chemical weapons factory and so forth. Wasn't there, was it? And so we went in on one of many lies. And now we're finding evidence of chemical weapons. And it's kind of like, you know, you wonder. Because it's so easy to accuse someone else falsely. Now, is the Iraqi claim was false. The Ukraine claim, is it true? And is it also true that it has the U.S. affiliation? Like the Wuhan lab in China has direct U.S. affiliation. But you know, it's one thing about the actual event, but the other thing is the politics around whether or not you allow something to be said. The other thing I saw is, I think you'll probably find a lot in the Western media about the protesters within Russia protesting against Putin and the invasion. And they say you can't, their government says you cannot call it invasion. It's a special military operation, whatever. So there is some, you know, censorship. Gee, is there censorship here? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But there's also apparently, like the, I think it was patterned after the trucker rally in Canada and the U.S. They're doing the same thing in Russia. Standing with the Russians going into Ukraine and with Putin. So, it is a PR question. And which one gets the news? You know, because again, because I saw a clip of a line of cars with the Russian flags. I mean, this looked like a duplicate of the Canadian event, or the current U.S. event. All the cars. It looked like, it's a duplicate of also what happened, 2 weeks ago, when the two Donbass countries. Claimed independence and were recognized by Russia. That day, they had the fireworks going off in celebration. They had cars driving all around with the flags coming out, and the Russian flags. And I think they already had new flags for Donetsk and Lugansk, however they're pronounced, the two new countries that Russia has recognized. Russia and who was the other country that recognized them? At least one of the countries recognized them. Anyway. But, you know, there are the lies. There are the lies about the pilot that shot down 5 Russian aircraft. It was a video game. It was kind of like, I mean, it was really that bad. Or the Snake Island thing that was really, really bad. Because, you know, especially considering you can look at Zelensky did and gave them these high honors and so forth. And then you can see the video of all those people being given food and whatnot, being put on buses so they can go back to their own homes. Not as prisoners of war, simply go back to their own homes. Which as a PR move, especially from the Russian perspective, that was superb, because they're showing decency. Whereas right now, Ukraine is being accused of torturing prisoners and doing vile things. There is, because I did see that, you know, I've mentioned, if you go back to the 2014 overthrow, you know, they call it an election. It was a coup d'etat. The government was overthrown. An election that, of course, the West will say was fair, and others will say no, this is complete fraud. But anyway, when Zelensky was he put in then, or was he put in second after? Anyway, the opposition was imprisoned or killed. And what are they doing now? Some remaining opposition within, they're actually. Going after them doing vile things. So there's literally an image of one of the political leaders with a knife to his throat by the Azad Brigade, the neo-Nazis. They're all over the place, but I don't think the West will show that. But it really is amazing. It's amazing because it's not... There's the events. There is the concern for the individuals and the families and whatnot that are being devastated. That is a really serious concern. But, you know, and of course there was the... I heard some comment that I guess a press conference or whatnot that Zelensky was in... Saturday, and they say, oh, well, you know, he's under so much stress and whatnot. And you know, someone is, now, I recognize that he's on cocaine. Because, again, he was, you know, apparently good friend with Hunter Biden. And the allegation is the two of them, you know, did a lot of cocaine together. Again, the veracity of that, I don't know. But you know, it would seem to make sense, especially because there's this strong relationship between Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and Ukraine. I mean, it's been there for years. Again, there's the CFR video that I pointed out. And of course, there's Hunter Biden's $50,000 a month income from Burisma, the oil company in Ukraine. So you might think that maybe there's something fishy going on here. I watched a video that I would highly recommend. I have the link on for today. It's from the Gray Zone. It was called Forever War in Ukraine or End of Unipolar World. And I think it was insightful because obviously we don't have the war in Afghanistan. So we don't have a way to feed the military-industrial complex. And even if we don't send troops, because that would be really stupid, we can send armaments. You know, so many. One of the things that really got to me is I saw a little short video clip of, you know, picking up some of these weapons, basically on the side of the road kind of thing. And it was an anti-tank missile made in USA. And those things bother me. You know, we hear about, you know, making the weapons of war effectively in the Bible. And it's kind of like, that should end. And it really is a horrible thing. You know, even if you say, okay, an anti-tank weapon is clearly far more a defensive weapon than a tank itself. But still. And what is the purpose of this? You know, it's really good business. Again, as I point to that scene from Schindler's List about, you know, Schindler said, you know, made so many businesses, they continue to fail. I said, I'm doing, you know, doing gangbusters right now. What was the difference? War. A lot of money in war. Especially when those people that you deal with are just commodities rather than human beings created in the image of God. Anyway, but you know, it's the forever war idea where some will want the because you have the market, you have the distraction, you have, oh, let's point to this. So let's you watch this while we'll do other things over here. And we need more arms. We need, you know, get behind your government, all that kind of malarkey. But the other thing about the end of the unipolar world, we as the U.S. for, what, about 30 years after the fall of the Soviet Union, we are the world hegemon. And we're losing that. Again, economically, you know, China is, you know, well, U.S. and China are really close. You know, India, Japan, the EU as a whole, but, you know, not individual countries. Germany is pretty strong. France is pretty strong. And Russia is pretty strong if you don't look at exchange rates. But anyway, so economically, the playing field is changing. Militarily, the U.S. spends, I think it's more, we spend more on you know, military budget than like the top 10 other countries combined. I mean, we spend a lot of money on war. However, you know, a lot of people will say, we cannot take on China or Russia because we're going to lose. If you go and look at the military strategists, they say you try to defeat either one, no, we'll lose. We have a lot of money. We have expensive, flashy toys. It's like, what is it, the latest plane. Uh, the F whatever 35, is it, or something of that nature? I don't know. You know, they're like $100 million a piece, and they're known to be unreliable and have all sorts of problems. It was, you know, we had, it was in the South China Sea, I think. We had a plane come in for landing, and it went right into the water. The pilot had to eject, and the plane went in the water. And apparently those things happen a reasonable number of times. But they're expensive, ridiculously expensive planes. The planes produced in China are a whole lot cheaper, and the planes produced in Russia are even apparently better. You know, again, when people compare the Patriot defense system compared to the S-400, or now especially the S-500, the Russians have a much a greater range, higher accuracy, and a lower cost. They have a corrupt system like we do. It's just simply less so. You know, so it's not that one is better than the other in the sense that one we should have, one we shouldn't. No, we shouldn't have either. But we're further down the corruption by far. And then it's become fairly, you know, I saw a video, because it amazed me to watch one of these missiles. It's in the back of a big truck, brought up vertical, and then it goes up a couple hundred feet, and it has kind of little jets in the top and the side, little short, small rocket engines, and it flips sideways, and then it goes off. So it's the kind of thing where instead of having to go vertically up and then arch in direction because of the fins that are used, it's, no, I want to go that way far and fast. And he's kind of like, up, turn, gone. I mean, it really is amazing because it's basically that fast. It's just amazing stuff. And of course, they have they're far ahead of us on the hypersonic weapons. So, you know, it's the idea. So what do? You know, we have to do the sanctioning stuff. And really, that's stupid. It really is stupid because it doesn't act a war. Anyway, I recommend this Gray Zone video. I think it was insightful. It's well displayed or characterized. But one other thing, I saw something. There's this guy, J.P. Sears. He's a comedian, and he has the thing Awaken with J.P. Some of the things he does are quite funny, quite provocative. Some of the things I think he's got totally wrong. But he did one like yesterday, day before, that I highly recommend. And again, I'll leave you the link. Is Klaus Schwab the most dangerous man in the world? And, you know, I've talked about him. I've talked about the World Economic Forum for years. If you check, I don't know, it's somewhere back where I talked about one of the concerns, and I said this years ago. You know, a lot of times you'll hear people talk about the New World Order because, I mean, this is a statement that Bush has used. What's his name in England? That guy. A lot of people have used it. A lot of presidents and various people have used it, from the political left, political right. They've used it. And, you know, it goes all the way back to what's his name? The author, War of the Worlds. Anyway, the guy that wrote War of the Worlds, he also has a thing about the New World Order. So it's over 100 years old, that idea. And it's been talked about, and it's become kind of one of these meme ideas, in the sense if you say that, it puts you in a club. And it's easy to tag you as a conspiracy theorist or something of the nature. But what I noticed, and I commented on this again years ago, if you listen to some of the dialogues at the World Economic Forum that, again, I've been listening to for years, they don't talk about global. They do talk about New World Order, but they also talk about global governance. So it's basically a different term for the same thing. and you see it happening. And how do you have it happen? Well, what you do, it goes back to the idea that I've documented and mentioned many times. How do you change the attitude of the population? Well, you get them young and train them in a particular way. Well, you do this by getting them into government-funded schools, which is, you know, again, part of the Communist Manifesto is one of the planks, to teach people to be obedient to the state. And how do you do it? You know, one of the things is emotions. And in the U.S., we had that socialist pastor, Bellamy, who came up with the Pledge of Allegiance to change the hearts and minds of the children towards the state. It's been very effective. And as I pointed out, and I'll say it again, in 1954, 2 years before I was born, the words "under God" were added by an act of Congress. And the reason was to buy the Christian community. And because you get to the 1960s, and I think still in the 70s, there was especially Madeleine Murray O'Hare was pursuing to get those words removed. And now you had the Christian community say, no. We stand behind this. The Christian community was bought. You know, I was trained that way. I was bought. I will not say the Pledge of Allegiance anymore. Not at all. And I sure wouldn't have my kids do it. My Pledge of Allegiance is to the Lord. Period. I have no other God before Him. Him alone. And it's not that the state comes second. The state doesn't come at all. My allegiance is to the Lord. But, so, you see that, you know, in the young education system and so forth. That's how you took how Rockefeller Medicine took over the medical community, and you know they bought the, literally Rockefeller with all his money bought the medical colleges, and bought the AMA and set the rules to their liking. So it's not done by what is right, but what is purchased, and you buy people. So to see that on a world stage, the World Economic Forum, back in the 1990s, they have what they now call the Young Leadership Program, and they buy people. And those people have now are now in positions of leadership. Macron, Angela Merkel, who actually has just stepped aside, I think it was Tony Blair, Trudeau, Justin Trudeau, and his second in command, the woman, whatever her name is, Freeland. Is it Freeland? Anyway, who is also a high-ranking member of the World Economic Forum. So they buy, they get people, they train them in a particular mindset, and in doing that also, you form relationships with people. And it's the same technique used by groups like Skull and Bones. You form relationships with people, and you don't cross those people. You become a team. Your allegiance is to that team, not to your people. So anyway, the Awaken with JP thing, he points it out in a humorous way. I try to point out in a serious way. He points it out in a humorous way. And what he points out in his comedy is very real. And just like I've expressed before, you know, I'm 66, so I'm in my second half of life. My kids are young. They're going to see this far more than I am. Because I really think there are going to be bumps in the road. But these people are going to win in a lot of respects. just like I will contend, because the analogy I think is strong. The institutional church was formed basically in the 300s because effectively the house churches, which is the only churches or assemblies Paul ever greeted. He never greeted an assembly at an institution. It was assembly at homes. And it was not because it was too early for them to be formed. There was no command to form them. That is not the command of the Lord. There is simply no command of the Lord to do that. And this idea of, well, there's no command, but there's no prohibition. I need to find. I think what happens is, maybe a good analogy. Again, I use myself as an example because I'm the one I know. I have done, you know, it was, I had skin issues literally for decades. I got some various creams and whatnot, you know, from doctors and whatnot. It didn't help. Maybe ease the issues. But when I change to what's causing the problem and change what's causing the problem, gone. No medical involvement whatsoever. When I had this skin issue on my leg, yeah, I can be weird, can't I? Yeah. Let's see. Can it be seen? Anyway, there's a little spot here. It's quite smooth. It's not a good picture, but anyway, it's quite smooth. It's just a little red spot. But, you know, there's no blemish here. And this is, well, especially, you know, my leg didn't used to be that way either. But it used to be basically an open sore. And it was an open sore for about a year. And it's kind of like, oh, this could be a problem. I put CBD oil in it. And it went away in about 2 months. And it's been gone now for years. At least 4 years. So, the problem is, those techniques don't fit in with the way, you know, again, I remember because a very pleasant lady, older lady, a little bit older than I am, which is again, shrinking population, I once stated the question, if of the three things, if you had to give up one, which would it be? Nutrition, sanitation, or healthcare? And the way she responded, I wouldn't want to give up healthcare. And, you know, I didn't respond to her because I didn't want to be rude, but I'm sorry, that was a stupid answer. Because it's the one thing you don't need. You need nutrition, you need sanitation. Because without those two, you're going to get sick and die. Healthcare, the healthcare system is a complete, well, it's a similar fraud to the institutional church. Simply don't need it. Healthcare or the medical community works great for taking care of accidents. Because when they stitch you up, it's not that they repair you. They protect your body so it can repair itself. Because, don't tell anybody, God designed it. And in His grace, He has it repair itself. That's why wounds heal. Wounds heal because of the way God does the body, not because of medical science. You know, it's got to sink in. You know, it was interesting. We're at the top of Big Frog. One of the things we discussed is there is a... We talked about it as we walked by. There are two fire pits we saw. So people got together, grabbed some nearby rocks, and made a fire pit. That was the work of man. Around all of us were trees and trees and trees, lots of grass and a lot more trees. That was the work of God. It did not take the work of man to make those trees, to plant them and to tend them and whatnot. It's all the work of God. Healthcare, real healthcare, is all the work of God. It's not of man. In the same way, but we're trained to think otherwise. Like this lady who says, I wouldn't want to give up healthcare. No, I want to do things. You know, I was falling apart in my late 50s. Now, yes, you know, a couple days ago, I was at the top of Big Frog Mountain. On my 66th birthday, I set a record, a personal record, by over 90 seconds on my Greenway walk. Went from 53 minutes something to 51 minutes, 44 seconds. You know, a young guy, finding a young guy to do that, we're talking less than one of 1,000. So my health has improved radically. It wasn't medical science. It wasn't a man-made program. It was God's gift in the sense of, that's all I used. You know, again, I have pointed out, the day my car went up in flames, I wasn't very pleased, but it's proven to be a remarkable blessing. Sunday, I met another person who says, oh yeah, I know who you are. I see you walking all over the place. I am known in Cleveland by a whole lot of people. I'm the guy that they see walking all over the place because, again, it's such a rarity. It's a rarity. Perhaps, you know, the bag over the shoulder is kind of maybe distinguishing it. Maybe the speed distinguishes it and so forth. But, and of course, it's just an oddity. And I'm all over the place. I don't have to be unique. I desire for my kids to be somewhat like that. So when they get to be 66, they can do Big Frog Mountain. They might get tired. They might feel a little fatigued the following day or two. But they can do it without issue. And they can do it briskly, as we did. You know, in a dialogue with Gary Sunday, he obviously is limited because of being the amputee. But one of the things we shared is when we see some, well, especially when I see somebody walking the Greenway or whatnot, who's obese, they're walking slow and whatnot, it is really easy to say, you get what you deserve, you blah, 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 blah. Or you have the attitude, at least you're walking. You may not be as fast as I am. You may not have that form. You may not be able to go anywhere near the distance I do. But you're not sitting on a couch. You're out there walking. And that deserves respect. Because all of us are seriously flawed. We get ourselves into positions because of our stupidity, our disobedience to God. We get ourselves in situations that are very harmful. And just as we repent from sin, a lot of times obesity is maybe, you might say, a cultural sin. And when somebody says, I'm going to do something, even if they do things that aren't effective, you know, it's the idea of saying, I want to go on this particular diet. Well, the diet is probably ineffective. You can use that as an excuse. Or you can say, I'm going to try this, I'm going to try that. It's years ago I tried the push-ups thing and I just wouldn't keep it up. Jumping jacks, I keep up. You find what works for you and then you stick with it, you commit with it. I want to encourage my kids on this. Maybe last point, going back to the Klaus Schwab World Economic Forum thing, the whole objective there is control. J.P. Sears, one of the things he mentions, he does point, you know, because the guy that they have for the video, and you I've got the video, but anyway, you know, it's 2030. I own nothing, and I've never been happier. That line obviously has been used by a lot of people because that is their objective. They want to make you a minion. You know, again, the issue is, there's a lot of people saying, you know, get back to growing your own food and things of that nature. Well, yeah, that makes sense. But because right now, especially with the turmoil within like the transportation industry and so forth, if the truckers don't move, most people don't eat. And if the fast food places don't work, a lot of people don't eat. If you can't get it out of a box, people can't eat. And again, I haven't had a box or can in my house ever, not in this one. So, because, you know, when I went to Cook's Sunday, one of the things I grabbed, because there was some conversations about it, grabbed a little thing of kale, ate some of it on the way home, ate it when I got home, and what kind of preparation did it take? On the way home, grabbed a piece off, and stuck it in my mouth, and ate it on the way, walking down the greenway. It's in a sense, just like eating a candy bar. Except it didn't come out of a factory. And I would suggest those are the reasons why I'm a whole lot healthier than most. But there's that aspect, and the other aspect about the control is, you know, which when we go back to the stuff about Ukraine and whatnot, there's the control of the media. One of the things we say in the U.S. is we have a free press. And if you say anything otherwise, you will be silenced because our press isn't free. It's brought to you by Pfizer. It really is. Literally is. And, well, and, or, you know, even again, go back to the J.P. Sears thing, because I think he says that he talks about BlackRock. They own everything. And these people are literally in control. So one of the things you have to control besides food, and so many other things, is communications. And so the news media that people get, they speak with one voice. Because, again, it's brought to you by Pfizer. We call ourselves a free press, but we're not. There's the so-called independent media. A whole bunch of these people are silenced because what you do, and I pointed this one out before, I'm getting long, gee. You come out with a system, well, actually you buy this system called YouTube as one of the obvious examples. And you say, here, you can put this, put your video on for free. You know, it used to be we had things like antitrust laws and whatnot, so you can't do unfair competition. That's blatantly unfair competition. Put your videos on for free. Who's going to compete with us as YouTube? You know, there are several others, but they don't have anywhere near the market. A lot of tried and a lot fall away. It is like the difference between MySpace and Facebook. Because again, we give it to you free. And where did MySpace, or where did Facebook get a lot of their funding? Where did Google? Oh, that's right. The U.S. Intelligence Agency. What's the CIA funding arm? You remember them. You know, because the CIA has an organization. Can't think of it. See again, names. Me with names. Great. That funds organizations in order to get things that they want. They funded YouTube, Google, and Facebook. and of course the ties between them, and of course all these people, Zuckerberg, I think Eric Schmidt or the other guy from Google and whatnot, they're part of the young leaders of tomorrow, whatever it is, thing from World Economic Forum, you know, along with Bill Gates and others like that. They're part of that group. And so you've come in with this unfair technique and you've seized the market. And now that you have control of the market, you can say, this particular piece of information, this video, this tweet, this account, is saying something we're going to say is offensive, or is fake news and whatnot, or whatever. So we're going to get rid of that tweet, that video, or that user. It's happening in extremely large volumes. And again, when I did my video on Shofar Nexus and discussed it long ago, got to do the right one here. I did a couple of videos about, well, there's the your privacy is lost, how it's done, what is privacy, and so forth. And there is there's one of them in there talked about how what you do is you find a popular target. And what was done years ago is they took somebody who said, okay, this guy's a little, we can make fun of him because he's bombastic, Alex Jones. And we'll target him. And he was pulled from YouTube. And you can get enough people to rally around him saying that what happened was not a good thing. But you can have a lot of people rally around saying, yeah, you got rid of that lunatic. And so you go through that exercise and then it kind of settles. And you now have the framework in place. And over time, a whole bunch of people, a whole bunch more people. You know, I mean, they even took, Donald Trump off of Twitter, and so forth. If you look at that, it doesn't matter if you agree or disagree with the person. There's a lot to disagree with Trump. What could you agree with? It's gonna be a hard one. But anyway. You get rid of some people, and then they disappear. And now, if somebody comes out with information that you find unacceptable, like COVID-19 is a scam, get rid of them. Because the people who show the evidence about the scam of COVID-19, for example, they were removed from YouTube. And because it's so common now to be removed from YouTube and from Twitter and so forth, it's hardly noticed. They're just one of so many that are gone. Because I'm interested in a TikTok video and, ooh, look at this, isn't it funny? Cat videos, oh, isn't this funny? But if somebody gives you evidence, no, get rid of that. And I think that you'll see the same thing's happening and of course, you know, I find it fascinating because I do hear a lot of people talk about the clot shot. And I'm surprised that actually gets said. Because, you know, they're talking about the vaccines for COVID-19 because it gives people microclots. So it's called the clot shot. And people actually get away with saying that. And that I found fascinating. But there needs to be techniques to break through. A lot of people have tried. They've tried by duplicating what YouTube does. Like Vimeo, it was originally called Reel.video, and now it's Brighteon, which is in a lot of respects is basically the Alex Jones channel, but they have credibility issues. You know, again, as I've pointed out, one view is counted as 10, so it's fraud. And then there are others. There's DTube, Odyssey, some others. Some of them basically was, you know, I went to one, looked at it, and it says, wait a minute, whole bunch of pornography here, forget it. But so there are a lot of people trying to say censorship resistant. But what's happened is there's this underlying mentality of we can put it all in the cloud. And then you control the cloud. In other words, you're saying, I'm going to back up my stuff. I put it in the cloud. Ooh, neat. I'm putting it in the hands of people who will control me. Because it's like putting up a YouTube video and they say, I'm sorry, we've decided there's something offensive about your video. Has this ever happened to anybody I know? Well, yes, to me. I have my one thing down as hate speech. I've had the one thing age restricted, which, you know, again, they took that away, the age restriction, which pleases me. But still, that's a rarity. But the technology behind Shofar Nexus is to somewhat use the cloud, but it's not to Google servers, Amazon servers, Microsoft servers. And that's pretty much it. But to the guy down the street, or somebody in Kazakhstan, in Ukraine, in Russia, in China, in Argentina, in Barbados, you know, all the places I've dealt with. And it's not a corporation. And so why is this important? Because the example of Afghanistan, the example of Ukraine now, it's not the institutions, which institutions right or wrong, they're individuals. There are people involved. And I can't, you know, I'm not the guy who's going to help them grow food. Because after all, you know, that's the guy we killed in that last drone strike. People, he was helping Afghans grow food. We got to kill that guy. Or, you know, somebody doing whatever. But I am the guy who can do the technology to keep somebody safe. But it scares people. So the good news is I'm still trying. And I've had a slow weekend on this. But I'm making progress. And I hope by this weekend I'll have something to show, Lord willing. Because I'm not giving up. I got long and a bunch of other stuff. The analogy of trying to penetrate through the barriers about the misinformation that's happening about what's happening in Ukraine is identical to trying to break through the barriers about the misinformation in the institutional church. And it's not simply the doctrines, the overall politics, but our individuals. Just like the individuals in Ukraine or the individuals in Afghanistan that I've mentioned many times. There's Zadok, Walter, Glory Jane, Susanna, George. Besides, Julia, Isaac, Charlotte, James, Tirza, Jack, Eric Lee, Brent, and Leo. These people concern me greatly because they're individuals who I happen to have a very strong love for. And I'm trying to do for them. And there's one other person, a woman. What's her name? I'm trying to think. Oh, yeah. the woman I love and adore, Dorothy Jane, my lady, my wife, you know beyond question, even after all these years, I love you, I'm committed to you, I will not turn from you, and I want you back.